Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The top line of Daf Nun Daled is where we begin our shiur today, and the topic heading that you can see under our Nosei heading is My Kavulos. The Mishnah mentions that sheep are allowed to walk in the Rishus HaRavim in the state of Kavulos. So the Gemara asks, My Kavulos? Answer, Shemechablin Alyo Shelohen Lamato. The tail of the female sheep is literally chained down. It is covered and tied downwards. Kedei shelo yalu aleihem mischorim, so as to prevent male sheep from mating with them. The Gemara asks, "My mashma dai kovel lishnu de la'ovid pirihu." From where do we know that the word kovel has to do something that is not productive, not doesn't fructify? Dichtiv, the posuk in Sefer Melachim describes the Melech Tzor as having received from Shlomo HaMelech cities as a payment, as a gift for the Melech Tzor's assistance that he provided to Shlomo. And he complains, and he says, Mohe orim ho'ele asher nosatali ochi, what are the cities that you gave me? Vayikra lohem eretz kovul ad hayom hazeh. And they were called the land of kovul till this day. My eretz kovul. What is meant by that? And as we go on in this Gemara, we're going to see different explanations as to what eretz kovul is, and as we go on, so we'll see eventually that there is an opinion that says something, it's land that is dry and salty and doesn't provide any fruits, any agriculture. We have on the side under our Mivneh heading the double underline marking, which is one of our series markings, and it indicates Pirushim, Laha, Dichtiv, Eretz, Kovel, different explanations regarding this term. So, Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the first explanation. We're trying to understand what was the Melech Tzor, the King of Tzor, telling Shlomo. So Omer Rav Huna, Shahoyu ba bnei Adam she mechubolin bekesev ubezav. Mechubolin bekesev zav means they're covered with and tied down with silver and gold. Omer Le Rava. Rava asks Rav Huna. He says, "I hachi, if that's the explanation that you are suggesting, Hainu dichtiv." Would it then make sense that which it says v'lo yoshu beinov and he didn't like it? That neishem echubolim because it was of v'lo yoshu beinov, because the people that lived in these cities that Shlomo gave to the Melech Tzor, because they were wealthy, they were laden down with silver and gold, he didn't like that? What's wrong with that? He got cities that had very wealthy people in it. Amalei in. That's the very point. He didn't like that. Kevon da'asiri umefanki, since they're wealthy and finicky, lo avdi avidito. They're not going to work in the king's work forces. They're not going to be able to provide physical labor that kings benefited from, and that's why they would have preferred having populations that weren't finicky and able to do the king's work. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omar, Eretz Chomton Hoysa. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says that it was a Eretz Chomton is a salt, salty, cracked, an arid land. The Amai Kori Le Kovel. why is the term kovel applied to this? The mistarga bo karo ad kavlo. We mentioned that land was arid and cracked, so that it was such that a person, when he would walk along, his foot would sink into the ground until his ankle. Kavlo is -- underline, hence the term Eretz Kavul, ankle. It was ankle land. V'amri inshi ara mechavlo delo ovid piri. And a saying developed around this to describe such a region. It's a land that's mechavlo. And we're taking it to mean now the land with cracks that we mentioned that the person's foot would sink into it, that doesn't produce fruits. So that the Gemara asked before in the Mishnah word kavulos, that the sheep can go out on Shabbos kavulos, and we mentioned that their tails are tied in a downward position so as to prevent procreation, fructification. This is borne out, again, a pun that one should overlook. This is borne out by the word Eretz Kovel in the Pasuk. Kavunos, we mentioned that sheep can go out kavunos, my kavunos. The Gemara answers, Shemechavlin oisoi lemilas. The sheep were wrapped up with material around their bodies from the day they were born, so as to maintain a very clean white fleece of wool. And the idea of whiteness associated with sheep's wool is expressed in the following Tanaic source, Kidisnan Seis, Ketsemer Lavan. This source is dealing with Negoyim, and Negoyim, as is featured in the Torah in Sefer Vayikra, is a case where there's a change of skin color to something very white. And one of the levels of whiteness is called Seis. There's the term Baharis and a term Seis. Seis is a whiteness that's like the whiteness of white wool. My Semer Lovan, the Mishnah mentions Seis is like Semer Lovan. What do you mean by Semer Lovan? Omar of Beifai Barabai, Ketsemer Noki Ben Yomo, like clean wool of a day-old sheep, Shemechamno Solomilas, that we wrap the sheep in cloth from the day it's born, so that as it develops, its wool will always be very, very white. I deliberately don't want to use the expression snow white, because the other expression of whiteness in the context of Negoyim happens to be Baharis, and that is snow white. This is wool white, but a wool that's been protected from the day the animal is born. Vo'izim yoitzis tsuros. On the side of the Gemara, we indicate under our nose say heading, my ho'izim yoitzis tsuros. What is meant by that? And under the Mivneh heading, we acknowledge the numbering that we have in our sugya. We have numbers, Roman numerals 1 through 3. These are Gimel Lashonos Batzogas Divrei Rav Ushmuel. We're going to see three different ways of presenting Rav and Shmuel. If for the sake of extreme accuracy, the three is most appropriate with regard to Shmuel, who will see three ways of presenting his opinion. So the Gemara continues, Itmar Rav Omar Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. We're referring to the topic of Izim Yotze Tsuros. We have a little star on the side just to help us recall the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis. So we indicate that Tanakama says Yotze Tsuros, Rabbi Yossi Oser, he forbids, and Rehuda made a distinction between Tsuros Liabesh and as opposed to Lo Lecholov. So the Rav here, Paskins, Halach, says Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda is taking a middle ground and saying that the goats can go out tsuros, their udders tied, if it's for drying out the milk, from stopping it from lactating. However, not tsuros tied with little pouches to catch the milk. Ushmuel, the Gemara continues, Omar Halachik Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel then would be more machmir. He represents a more extreme opinion that they cannot go under any circumstances tsuros. The ikra demasni l'hoshmeitz of api nafsha. There are those versions or other versions, and within in Gemara markings, when you have expressions indicating a transition or an alternative, we like to squiggle underline them. So here we've squiggle underlined the ikra demasni. There are those that teach this section, this teaching, the api nafsha, means on its own and not in reference to the Mishnah. And it'll be very obvious as we go on. Here you see Rav Omar the Abe Shmuter Velo Lecholov. Rav is saying that if the tsuros, if the tying of the pouches around the udders is to stop the lactation, to dry it out, it's tightly attached, that's okay. However, not for catching the milk. Shmuel Omar Echod Zev Echod Zev Osir. Shmuel says whatever the circumstances are, whether it's the Abesh or Lecholov, one cannot allow his goats to walk out tsuros with the udders tied. V'ika demasni lo aha. And there are those that refer Shmuel to the following. So we have a Tanaic source, and at the end of the Tanaic source, at the end of the frame section, we've dashed underlined Shmuel, and he will be ruling like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra in the upcoming Tanaic source, who represents a restrictive opinion. And so it's a third presentation of Shmuel and his restrictive stance with regard to tsuros. So the source says, we read in the Gemara, Iko demasni lo aha. There are those that teach Shmuel on the following: Izim yoytzi tsuros the abe shavolo lecholav. This is the Tanakama of this Tanaic source, says that the goats can go with their udders tied if it's tied for drying them out, but not for catching the milk. Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Becerra Amru Kach Halacha. In the name of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, it was said that thusly is the letter of the law. Aval mi meifis ezel liavish veezel lecholav. But who will draw a lot? But who will bear witness? We can say which goat is tied for liabesh and which one is tied for catching the milk. In other words, to the average person just casually glancing at the animals, you can't tell a difference. Umitoch she'ein makirin, and because the public cannot make a distinction, echozeh ve'echozeh osur, both the types of tsuros are osur, even if it's tied for liabesh. We cannot allow it, because that will cause people to be misled and think that all types of tying would be allowed, and that's not the case. Omar Shmuel, the Amri Lo Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, another version by way of the names is Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel, Halacha Kribina Ben Becerra. The Halacha follows Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra, who took the cautious, restrictive approach. Kiyosa Ravin Omar Rav Yochanan. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Halacha Ketana Kama. The Halacha is like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah that allows both. He allows all cases of Izim Yotzes Tsuros with their udders tied. The Mishnah. Uvamo Eino Yotze. What are things that animals cannot go out with? Lo Yotze Gomol. Bimetuteles. The term Metuteles, Rashi has three Pirushim on this. The first two are Rashi on the Mishnah. There's a third Pirush later on. And that third Pirush suggests a metuteles is a small type of pillow placed, that's full of stuff with soft material, that's placed under the animal's tail so that it won't, so it'll be protected or from chafing as a result of a strap that's placed around animals for that are attached to burdens. So the strap that's attached to the camel is attached under its tail, but if the strap were adhering directly to the camel's body, it would cause chafing. So this metuteles, this little pillow, prevents that. But with regard to Shabbos, so the camel is not allowed to go out with the metuteles. lo okud velo rogul v'chein shar kol behemos, and it cannot go out. Okud and rogul, these are terms that the Gemara will explain, but it has to do in general with the animal's legs being tied together, which would clearly restrain the animal from running. But that it cannot go out like that. V'chein, and likewise with other animals. Lo yikshor gmalim ze boze v'yimshoch. One is not allowed to tie camels together and then draw them like that. Avol machnis chavolim l'soch yodo v'yimshoch v'ad shelo yikroch. However, if you have a number of camels and they all have ropes attached to them, you can hold all the ropes together and draw them that way. We'll have to see more about that in the Gemara, but it has to do with wrapping the ropes together. But the Gemara will elaborate. Tana, a Tanaic source says, Lo yetzei gomel b'tzelos hakshur lo b'znavo. A camel cannot go out into the Rishus Rabbim with a mitutelis tied to its tail. Avol yotzei mitutelis hakshur b'znavo uvechotroso. However, if it has a mitultelis tied to its tail and to its hump, then it is okay. Omar Rabba bar Rav Huna yotzei agoma mitultelis hakshura lo bishil yosa. A camel can go out with a mitultelis tied to a placenta that is emerging from it. Rashi points out that if the mitutas is tied to the tail and the hump, so since it's tied to both, it won't fall off, and therefore I won't come to a situation where I'll be carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara continues, Lo okud v'lo ogul. As we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side our nosei, Tiur, explanation, description, Mahu Okud V'Rogil, Dekotoni B'Mishnah. The Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, Okud means, Akedas Yad V'Regel, Ki Yitzchok Ben Avraham. Okud means the tying of the leg with the arm. Means an arm, when you're dealing with animals, is the front legs are called yad and the hind legs are called regel. So okud is the tying together of a front leg with a hind leg, which was the way, the position that Yitzchok was tied when he was placed on the altar for in anticipation of the being sacrificed in the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. And the word rogul shelo yachuf yodo al gabi zro'o v'yikshor, that one is not allowed to have an animal's leg bent in such a way where it's bottom of leg is bent upwards and tied. This would create a situation, the animal basically has three functioning legs. The fourth leg, the front leg, is tied upwards, and this would prevent the animal from running away. We have so far, we've just learned Rav Yehuda, and he describes Okud, and he describes Rogel. In this Gemara, as is the case in many, many other Gemaras, the multiple factor issue can create confusion. In other words, for some of us, it's hard to maintain multiple variables in light of an onslaught of questions. To make things easier, we like to point out when we can that not all, in this case, it will not be both of the variables that will be coming into question. So when we see the term rogel and reviewed says shleochuf yodo al gabi zro yikshar, that's something that won't come under question. That will be something that we'll be agreeing with the whole way through the Gemara. However, what we have to do is focus on the okud of Rabbi Yehuda. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a mivneh heading, and that we'll see in another line, a diamond with a color in the tip. These are nisyonos, attempts, limtso moker, letiuro shor of Yehuda lahanal. And as after the Gemara will challenge Rav Yehuda's explanation by quoting a Tanaic source that will seem to be against what he explained as Akud, we'll then be looking for sources that will confirm Rav Yehuda's approach, or serve as a basis for Rav Yehuda's approach. We turn to the Gemara, Meisvei. Akud equals Shtei Yodayim Ushtei Raglayim. Akud is the tying together of the two front legs together, or the two hind legs together. Now that's not like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda had front leg tied to hind leg, and the source is saying the two front legs together, or the two hind legs together. Rogel, this is not something we have to focus on, because this is not a point of controversy. He says, Shelo yachuf yodo al gabi zro v'yikshu. That's the same thing as Rav Yehuda said. So, as we said, to keep things easy, we just focus on Akud. Well, we have a Tanaic source that's not, that doesn't back up Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was an Amora. So the Gemara says, who, the Amar Rav Yehuda, is based on ki hai Tana desanya. He will based on the following Tana. We have a little number one over here, and that indicates if you see a one, there's going to be a two. And this is basically an attempt that won't be successful, and therefore you can see there's another diamond coming up in a couple of lines at the end of the line, and there's a number two. So it will be there that we finally find a source upon which to base Rav Yehuda. In the meantime, we say, who the Amar Rav Yehuda is like he hai tana desanya, he will conform to the following source. Akud equals Akedas Yad V'regel. That sounds good. And that we call the Resha. We've written that above, the word. Then, Oi, Shtei Yodayim, Ushtei Raglayim. This is the Mitziosa, the middle part of the source. It says another possibility of Akud is two front or two hind tied together. Rogel, this is the Seifa, and once again, this you'll see is the same as we've been saying straight through, so we don't have to really focus on this. Rogel equals Shelo Yochuf Yodo Agabi Zro V'yikshor. The Gemara asks, Vakati Lo Domi. But still, this source doesn't resemble exactly that which Rav Yehuda said. Bishlo Reisha V'Zeifa Nicha. Granted, the Reisha of this source, and notice that's why we wrote in the word Reisha, the line before, the Reisha and the Seifa of the source are like Rav Yehuda's teaching. That nicha means it's fine. Mitziyasa kashya. However, the mitziyasa of this source, the middle section, is not something that Rav Yehuda suggested. Ella, hu diomar, rather, Rav Yehuda says ki haitana, like the following source. Akud equals ke azakedas yad rego, kiso ben Avram. That now, if you compare this dashed underline with that which we dashed underline for Rav Yehuda, it's the same. Rogel shelo yochuf yodo agabi zro v'yukshar, same as Rav Yehuda. So we have this source is the basis for the Amura Rav Yehuda's explanation. V'lo yukshar gemalim, we were taught in the Mishnah not to tie the camels together. My taima, why not? Omar Rav Ashi mishum de merci kemanda ozil lechinga. A group of camels, a herd of camels tied together. Or we could be less dramatic, that's simply camels tied together and being drawn through the streets gives the impression that he's taking them off to market for sale. And we don't practice commercial activity on Shabbos, so that one should not conduct himself in such a way that gives the impression that he's going to market with them. Avol Machnis Omar Rav Ashi Lo Shanu. Now Rav Ashi is a comment on that which the Mishnah said Shelo Yichroich, not to wrap together or bind together the ropes. So Rav Ashi says Lo Shanu Elinyan Kilayim. This restriction of having the ropes Koruch bound together is not a Shabbos consideration. It's a Kilayim consideration. Kilayim, in the case of materials, is also known as shatnez. That has to do with, and we'll talk in this case about ropes made of wool and ropes made of linen. Another issue of kilayim that the Gemara will raise and reject immediately is another form of kilayim is the prohibition of having two different varieties of animals plowing or drawing carts together, being tied together, and or let's say operating together in one activity. That would be the case if you, let's say, you had an ox and a horse, or a donkey and a cow tied together to a plow. That is something the Torah prohibits. So right now we're asking about camels and their ropes. It said tied together, and we said this is not a Shabbos prohibition, but there's a kilayim issue here. So the Gemara asks, kilayim demai, what kind of kilayim? Now the double underline that you see featured here, this is explained under our structural note on the side of the Gemara. Shlavim lefaresh dvarav shorav Ashi. We're going to go through stages in explaining Rav Ashi. Shomar da'ad katani uvat shel yichroch. Rav Ashi commented on the Mishnah that said uvat shel yichroch hachavolim haynu mishum kilayim v'lo mishum Shabbos. As she said, this is a purely kilayim consideration and not a Shabbos issue. And we are here to try to understand what does Rav Ashi mean when he says that this is a kilayim issue. So the Gemara asks, and this is double underline, it's the first stage in trying to figure out his comment. Ilemo kilayim de Adam, if you think it's a reference to the combining or the mixing of man with the animal in the drawing together, ba'atnan, that can't be. The Tanaic source says, Adam muterim kulam, lachrosh ulimshoch. A man can work together with any animal in plowing or drawing whatever, drawing a cart. So the fact that the man is here together with the camels does not present that kind of kilayim problem. It's true, two kinds of animals cannot work together, but man with animals is not a problem. Elo kilayim dechavolim. Rather, it's a function of ropes, the material kilayim, we'll call the shatnez issue. Well, that's not true either. V'atanya hatoke tkifo achas eino chibor. If you were to take, let's say, a piece of wool and a piece of linen and sew them together with one stitch or one needle entrance, that would not be kilayim. And the reason for that is the Torah, when it forbids tzemer u'pishtim yachdov, the tzemer is wool and pishtim is linen together, it asers it only in a fashion where the two materials are attached in a permanent or a long-standing fashion, what's called a dovr hamiskayim, something that will last. And ropes that are simply wrapped one with the other, or they're twisted together, that is not what the Torah prohibits. That will simply very quickly unravel once you let go. So that the this citation of Hatoki Tichlas is a really an analogy, or it's an example of the issue here. Just like the single stitch is not considered a chibur, so too, because it's not a dovr hamiskayim, it's not something that will last, so too, the krichas chavolim, that's winding ropes together, is not something that will hold, won't last, it won't hold for any amount of time. So the Gemara goes on and says, well, liyolim kilayim de chavolim, yes, it is a kilayim involving the ropes. It's a shatnez problem, v'hochi ko'amar, and thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. We're allowing you to hold ropes together, even if they happen to be some of linen and some of wool, provided you don't twist them together and then tie them up. If you tie them together, so that will be a chibur, a connection, an attachment that will last for a long time. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new Tanaic source. There's a triangle with a darkened tip. Deos b'shiur hachevel shemutu lotzis miyodim. We're going to see opinions regarding the amount of rope that can extend beyond your hand while you're holding the ropes. So far, we've been saying you can walk with your camels or other animals. You can walk with them attached to a rope or a leash. And here we're going to say that's fine and good as long as the end of the rope that you're holding, you have one end is around the animal's neck, the other end is in your hand. We're interested in that end that's in your hand being in your hand and not extending beyond your hand. So the what if it does? Amar Shmuel, b'vad shlo yetzei hachevel mitachas yodo tefach. We're allowing the drawing of animals with ropes, provided the rope doesn't extend a tefach, a handbreadth, beyond your hand, on the other side of your hand. The Gemara asked about Tana de Bei Shmuel, but in the yeshiva of Shmuel, they taught tefachayim. Two tefachim is what is restricted, but a tefach and three quarters would be okay. Omar Abaye, Hashta de Omar Shmuel tefach, the Tana de Bei Shmuel tefachayim. Now that we have on the one hand Shmuel himself saying one tefach, and in his yeshiva they teach two tefachim, which is obviously a greater leniency. Shmuel halocha lemaisa asa shminan. Shmuel is coming to tell us what you are to publicize in we'll call halocha lemaisa, which actual halocha practice. So, meaning, if someone were to come and ask, how much rope can I have extending beyond my hand? You'll have to tell him, as long as it's less than a tefach. However, if, let us say, someone had more than a tefach, as long as it wasn't two tefachim, so then we can say, well, you didn't violate an isser. But that's not the quantity, or that's not the amount that we would actually rule at the outset. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. You can see we have another triangle. These are going to be continuing with the issue of deos on the matter of rope extension. So we ask, v'hotanya ubavad shiagbia min akarka tefach. This source seems to be saying different than what we said till now, that you can have the rope extending from your hand as long as it's a tefach above the ground, a handbreadth off the ground surface. But you could have many tefachim extending from your hand. So the Gemara says, no, we're not understanding this source correctly. Ki tanya ahi, this source that is talking about yagbia min akarka tefach is bechavla de beini beini. This is a reference to the rope that's between you and the animal. The rope that's between you and the animal, you might have it on a very long leash or very long rope. So as the rope curves downwards, we're not talking about something solid, we're talking about a rod, we're talking about a rope. So the rope sags down. So this source is teaching us that the sagging down is allowed, provided it doesn't sag to within a tefach of the ground. But as far as the amount that can extend from your hand, that is, as we said before, not even a tefach. Should be less than a tefach. As far as why the sagging, what's the issue behind the sagging rope? So Rashi goes into a greater amount of explanation, but for our purposes, the Gemara structurally should be clear, and that is that Shmuel's original position of Vashi Etzei Tefach Miyodo is maintained. The Mishnah. Before we go on, in the Mishnah on the side under our topic heading, we've simply noted Be'elu Ein Behema Yotzis with the following things. We continue in our description of things that an animal is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Ein Chamor, in this source we'll see a number of different animals, hence here we've underlined the different animals. You can see we'll mention Chamor, Tarnagoylim, Zechorim, Rechelim, Egel, and Pora. So the Mishnah says, "Ein chamor yoytze b'mardas v'zman she'eino k'shurlo." This Mishnah we saw quoted on our previous daf, that a donkey is not allowed to go out with the mardas, with the blankets or the whatever warming device that's on its back, It cannot go out with it as, in the event that it has not been tied to it. And the Gemara explained earlier on Daf Nun Gimel, if it has not been tied to it from Friday. Velo bezug af alpi shu pokuk, and it cannot go out into the public thoroughfare with a bell, even if the bell is stuffed, that it won't clang. Velo besulam shebet savoro. The sulam shebet savoro is a, it's a sulam is literally a ladder, but it's a type of board that is that looks like a ladder that's attached to the side of the animal's head, preventing it from twisting its head or turning its head. The Gemara will explain a little bit more why someone would want to do that. The Mishnah continues, V'lo b'ritzua shebaraglo, nor with straps on its leg. V'ein ha-tarnegolim yoitzin be'chutin, and chickens cannot go out with strings, V'lo b'ritzua shebaraglam, nor with a strap around a strap around their legs. Since you're talking about chickens, it's a pretty thin strap. They're dealing with rather small creatures. The Gemara will explain these items. The Ein HaZachorim Yotzen Ba'agolah Shetachas Ha'al Yishalehen. The rams are not allowed to go out with a little agola. An agola is a little wagon, miniature type wagon. That might be, in this case, it would be tied to their tails, the alia, their tails. Their tails could at times be heavy and long and dragging on the ground. So if you have a ram like that, so to protect its tail, a little cart would be attached to it with little wheels, and as the animal walked, this would roll along, elevating the tail. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, so it's not to go out with this agola. Vein horechelim yoitzos chanunos. Sheep cannot go out chanunos. The Gemara will have explanations regarding that. Vein egel yoitzos begimon. The calf cannot go out begimon. That too the Gemara will deal with. Velo pora bor hakupar. And a cow cannot go out with the skin of a kupar. A kupar is a bristled skinned animal. So when that type of animal, imagine a porcupine, for example, when its skin, so it has these bristles on it, and the or hakupar would be that type of bristled skin attached to a cow. And that too will be dealt with by the Gemara. Rashi here points out that they would tie this or hakupar to the udders of a cow so that other creatures won't come and try to suckle its milk. Velo birtsua shebein karnel, nor can the cow go with a strap that's attached to its horns. Poroso shebiolozo ben azario yotze birtsua shebein karnel, the cow owned by Rav Elazar ben Azaria used to go out on Shabbos with this strap between its horns. Shelo barotz l'chachomim, the chomim disapproved. The Gemara asks, "My taima regarding the mardas? Well, what is the reason?" So the Gemara answers very tersely, "Kidamoran," as we already explained. So the Rashi elaborates just a bit. Rashi says, "She'eno k'shura bo'omer of Shabbos, v'abed amardas, that wasn't tied onto it from Friday, d'lo goli me'esmol she'e tzricho l'kach she'e lo l'malbush." By not having prepared the animal from Friday with this, so you're not demonstrating to us that you want this as an article of clothing for the animal's benefit. In other words, only if you tie it from Friday do you create the impression that it's l'malbush. Otherwise, if you, let's say, you decide to tie it on the animal on Shabbos, so someone could get the impression that you're tying it just so the animal should carry it out for you, and not for the animal's own benefit. The Gemara continues, and we should just point out that as we go down the Gemara, the first part of this Omid, are very terse explanations as to each point mentioned in the Mishnah. V'lo bezug, afopi yishu pokuk, the animal, the cow, should not go out with the bell, even if it's been stuffed. So there isn't an issue of it making noise, and still it's prohibited. Mishum de merci, command ozu lechingo, because that's the way people would take their animals to market. They would, Rashi says, lanos, to make them look nicer, they would have bells attached to them. Even if they weren't functioning as bells, still it was decorative. V'lo besulim shibet savoro, and we said not to have this type of ladder-looking board attached to its cheek. Amar Rav Huna, bei loa. When Rav Huna explains, bei loa would mean, as we said, it's next to its cheek. The Mishnah said, v'lo besulim shibet savoro, meant on its neck, but it's attached to its cheek. Possibly it's a long thing attached to its cheek and its neck. Lamai Avdila, why would someone have such an apparatus and appurtenance tied to the animal's cheek and neck? Answer, Lehecho de Isle Mako, this is a case where an animal has some type of bruise on its body, and the Lohoder Chayech Bey, this is to prevent the animal from turning its head. And how do animals scratch themselves? By using their teeth. So we don't want the animal to irritate whatever injury it, or bruise it might have, so this will prevent it from twisting its neck in order to reach the bruise. V'lo b'rtzua shibaraglo, the avdi lo le legizra, the strap around its leg, why would one do this? So tie a strap around its legs. So Rashi explains that we're dealing here with an animal that has some type of very short legs or peculiar legs. Right? It says it's not able to take a regular size strides, and as a result of it, it bangs its legs together, and this ritsua will prevent that from happening. That's what the avli le legizra, as we just explained, it's made to prevent the animal's legs from banging together. The ein hatarnegulim yoitzin v'chutin. Chickens are not to go out with strings attached to them. Why would someone attach strings to chickens? The avdi le simono kiechid lo lichlefu. This was these were basically made for identification purposes. A simon is a sign, so that they won't be confused with the chickens owned by other people. V'lo b'ritzua, chickens are not to be allowed to walk out with straps around their legs. De'avdi le ki hechi de'lo lizbru money. Why would someone attach straps to chickens' legs? So this is to prevent them from prancing around and then breaking items. Rashi says the lizbru money. Lisbru is to break. Money are vessels. Shekoshin shnei raglel brutzua tzara. Their legs would be tied together with a short strap. Shelo tuchala harim raglel lahatis, so to prevent them from raising their legs. And you can see in Maseches Bava Kama this very clearly described: the chicken dancing around and as a result hurling stones in all directions that could result in breaking things. The Gemara continues. Vein hazachorim yoitzin da'agola. This is a reference to that little cart attached to the ram's tails. Ki echi delo lechamton al yose. So as to prevent the al yose is the tail. Lechamton, it shouldn't get hurt on stones as it walks along. So mentioned it has this long, weighty kind of tail, and the agola will elevate it. The Ein Horechim Yotzis Chanunos. Yosef Rav Achobar Ulo Kamedu Rav Chisda V'Yosef Ikomar. And before we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a double underline, which is one of our series markings. And on the side, we've indicated under the Nosei Mivneh Hezberim Lahodik Otoni Chanunos. We're going to see explanations as to what Chanunos means. And the Mishnah said that the sheep are not to go out Chanunos. So the Rav Acha was seated by Rav Chisda, and he was saying, "Vishal shegoizuzin oisa." From the at the time that the sheep are shorn, tonin lo arzok b'shemen. Arzok is a compress. It's a soft material that is soaked here. It's, in this case, it's soaked in oil. Umanichen lo al padachta, and it's placed on the animal's forehead. Kedei shelo titztanein, so as to keep it from suffering a chill. If it's obviously if the sheep has been shorn, so its body skin is now exposed and it's subject to becoming cold. So to prevent it from getting cold, so this compress is applied to it, and that's what chanunos is. Amalei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, upon hearing Rav Acha's explanation, he reacts in kenos yisamar ukva. This is just an expression. You're treating the sheep like mar ukva. Mar ukva was the, we saw, we know that mar ukva was the Av Beis Din, and he was a leader of Klal Yisrael. And he was also a wealthy man, and this would be something you would do to this kind of procedure of an oil compress on someone's forehead is something you do to an important official, someone like Mar Ukva, not to a sheep. Ela Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kamei de Rav Chisda VYosef VeKomar. Some Gersos here have he was Rav Papa was saying this to Rav Nachman, and he said let's use the Girsa Rav Nachman, you'll find as the Gemara goes on to this be an easier Girsa to use. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel was telling Rav Nachman, the Yosef Komar Bishal Shikoras Lele, when a sheep is about to give birth, Toinin Law Shnei Arzokin Shel Shemen, we soak two compresses in oil. Umanichin Law Achas Al Padachta V'Achas Al Arechem, one we place on the animal's forehead and the other on the animal's womb. Kedei shetis chameim, in order for it to be warmed. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, says, "Im Cain, if that's how you're treating the sheep in birth, al sisa yalta, you're making it like yalta. Yalta was Rav Nachman's wife. In other words, that's something you might do for a person. You're not going to do this for a sheep." Elo Amar Rav Huna. There's a tree abroad krochayam somewhere overseas, and the name of the tree is Chanun. Umavien kesam, we would take a splinter from this tree. Umanichin lo becholman, place it in the sheep's nostril. Kedesh tis atesh, in order to promote it, to cause it to sneeze. Viplu darne roisha. Darnei are tolaim, are worms. These are worms that get into animals' heads. So we would like the animal to sneeze to release the worms. Gemara asks, Ihachi Zuchorom Nami. If that be the case, so why does the Mishnah mention Chanunos in the context of Rechelim, which are female sheeps? It should be with male sheeps as well. The Gemara says, well, male sheeps don't need this as a method of worm removal. Kevon de menagri zchor badodi, the nature of apparently see by animals as well as men, they fight with one another. In this case, they gore one another. They bang their heads one on the other. Memelo naflin, the worms will fall out anyway. So that's why the Mishnah mentions that females who are more passive type creatures, in order to extricate the worms from their nostrils or from their heads, this sneeze motivational device in the form of this chanun wood is what we need. Shimon Nazir Omar, this is another explanation. We've called him Beis. You'll see why, because he's also dealing with a wood explanation. It says Kisma Derisma. This is what they would place in the sheep's nostril. So the Gemara says, Bishlam de Rav Huna, Hainu de Kotani Chanunos. According to Rav Huna's explanation, was the Chanun tree, and we dashed underline what he said. You can see just a couple lines up. So that fits in very well with the Mishnah's word. So the word Chanunos makes sense. Elo Rabbonon Mai Chanunos, with all the other explanations that we saw, where do you see the word Chanunos of the Mishnah? Answer, De Avdinon Lehu, Milsa de Merachaminon Alayhu. The word chanun has to do with compassion. So the others, other explanations that we saw preventing it from becoming chilled after shearing, or providing heat as it was in childbirth. These are all things that are acts of compassion to the animal, and hence the word chanunos, word chanun. Milso de merachamino, something that shows that's a demonstration of our care, our compassion for the animals. Vieno egel yoitza begimon. We saw the calf shall not go out begimon. My egel begimon, what is that? Omer avuna bar nira. Rashi says, Ul koton shmenichim leegel betzavoro, she lomud lochuf rosho lichshigdal. This is a type of small yoke that's attached to a calf's neck so as to train it to have its head bent over, which is what it, as an ox, it needs to be when it is drawing a plow. So even when it's young, we train it by having this gimon. Omer of Elozer, my mashmai gimon lishna de mechaf. The term gimon used in Mishnah, which has to do with the animal's head being trained and being bent over. Where do we see gimon being associated with bent over? Answer, Tichtiv halachuf ke'agmon rosho. The pasuk talks about an agmon is a reed, and the pasuk describing shall his head be bent over like a reed. So the word gimon, and the pasuk uses the word agmon in the context of something bent over. V'lo para ba'or hakupar, the cow is not allowed to walk out with the or hakupar. This is the bristled skinned animal, bristled animal skin attached to it. The avdi lo ki echid lo limtziua yoli. This is to prevent by having the udders of the cow covered with this or hakupar. It prevents yoli. Yoli is the type of creature that it shouldn't come and suckle the milk of the cow. Below Birtsur Shebein Parnell, and there's a restriction of having a strap tied between the horns of the animal. Now, the issue of straps around animals' horns is something that was discussed on Daf Nun Beis by Rav and Shmuel, so the Gemara makes reference to those shitas, Ila Rav. According to if you accept Rav's approach, so then the strap restriction will be Bein Lenoi, Bein Lishamer Osir. Whether it's for decorative purposes or even if it's to help in guarding the animal, Rav says that both will be prohibited. According to Shmuel, on the other hand, he's more lenient. He says, if it's for decorative purposes, then I agree it's forbidden. However, if it's for you're holding it to guard the animal, even though technically speaking a cow doesn't really need anything, but Shmuel rules that the shamer, would call shmir yisera, something where you're providing extra guarding, is okay, as long as it's in the context of watching or guarding the animal, so that the strap between its horns is a means of holding the animal from it from something happening. The Mishnah mentioned Parosa Shor Belozer ben Azariah, the cow of Reb Elozer ben Azariah walked out on Shabbos with a strap. The Mishnah presents the term poroso in the singular, indicating that Reb Elozer ben Azariah had only one cow, and that's quite amazing to think, because Reb Elozer ben Azariah was a very wealthy individual, and we will show that right now. The Gemara asks in a tone of wonderment, V'chada poro havyale, he had only one cow, V'omar Rav. V'yamri lo, another version is Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, Treser alfi yegli havet ma'aser me'aser Reb Elozer ben Azariah me'edrei kol shosa v'shosa. Tresar Alfi is 12,000 calves. He set aside as a tithe, as miser. Miser is miser behema. That's 1 out of 10 new births, any given animal, any given year, are to be set aside as a tithe. Those are then brought as a korban, miser behema korban. Reb Elozer ben Azariah had 12,000 animals as miser behema. That would indicate to us that he had every year 120,000 new calves born in his herd. So it's hard to explain the Mishnah that said he had one cow. The Gemara explains, Tana lo shelo hoisa, the cow featured in the Mishnah was not his own cow, Ela shel shchinoso hoisa. it was the cow belonging to his neighbor. Umitoch shelo michobo nikreis al shmoen. By the fact that he did not protest her allowing the animal to go out with the ritzua between it, with the strap between its horns on Shabbos, so he is held accountable, so to speak. So therefore, it's called his. Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu. These two pairs of Rabbonim, the four Rabbonim over here, they teach. We skip the brackets for a moment. What do they teach? Call me she'ef shalim chois la'anshei beis v'lo micha. Anyone who has it within his power to protest the sinful behavior of his family and remain silent, nitpas al anshei beiso. Nitpas means he's punished for their sins. And this idea of kol mi she'ef shalim chos continues, and we have it numbered here or lettered aleph, beis, and gimel, three increasingly large scenarios. But before we go further with this, let's just go over the bracketed section. And we have a note that these brackets are based on the Tosfos commentary, and this is one of our classic situations where we use brackets for initial skipping purposes. And the basis of these brackets one can see by simply glancing at the Tosfos. And let's do that together. Rav Ruchanino, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Masni, Pirush, Masni, Hach Shmaitza, Diomar B'Somoch. They teach that which is said afterwards. V'Hashto, and right now, in other words, after the word Masnu that appears in the Gemara, it's where right before our brackets, right now, V'Hashto, Posak HaShas, the Milsei, the Shas interrupts the Komar and tells us a side piece of information, and tells us Bekule Seder Moed Kol Kiav Zuga Michalfa Rabbi Yochanan and Bekule, and we put in Ve'adu Rabbi Yonason. Now Tosus then points out Velo Koi Masni, the word Masni that was used by the Gemara, that word Masni is not going Achiluf. It's not going on this switch around of names that's featured in the brackets. It's going on that which appears right afterwards. And that's why we read the Gemara the way we did. We read Masnu, and we skipped the brackets. Masnu kol mi she'ef shalimchos. Their teaching has to do with the necessity of a person to protest when he is in the position to protest. In the brackets, the Shas is making a point that Bekule, well, let's read the bracketed section. Bekule the Seder Moed, in the Seder Moed, this is the second Seder of the Shas. You have Zroim Moed, Noshim, Nezikin, Kotshim, and Taros. Seder Moed is the second section of the six orders. Kol Ki Hai Zuga, whenever you have in Seder Moed these pairs of Rabbonan, Zuga are pairs. So Chalufi Rabbi Yochanan Umayel Rabbi Yonason. You would take out Rabbi Yochanan and rather read Rabbi Yonason. So that, and we are in Masecha Shabbos is part of Seder Moed. So you would have read, you have Rav and Rav Chanina, and you have Rabbi Yonason and Rav Chaviva. They teach. Well, what do they teach? Now we continue the Gemara. Their teaching is Kol Mi Shef Shalimchos. Anyone who has the power to protest. Now, who does he who? It depends. If it's, you have Aleph Lanshe Beso, next you'll see Beis, you'll see is Lanshe Iro, and Gimel is Bechol Olam Kulo. So if it's a person that has a position of authority within his family, so then he's expected to protest or if he sees a sinful behavior. On the side of our Gemara, we also have a topic heading Choyvas HaTechocho LeMishiyesh B'Yodo Limchos, the obligation to chastise when it is within your power to do so. So the first category of he has power to chastise or the ability to chastise la'anshei beis v'lo michani, remains silent. Nitfas la'anshei beis will be held accountable for the sins of his family. Ba'anshei iro, and if he has the power to, he has a position of authority and he'll be over his city. And he remains silent, Nitpas al Anshei will be held accountable for their sins.
And B'chol Olam Kulo, if he's a world-class authority, a Jewish people leader figure, and he could protest and remain silent, Nitfas al Kol Olam Kulo, and he's held accountable for all of their sins. Rashi says, B'chol Olam Kulo, B'chol Yisrael, Kagon, Melech, Benosi, like a king, or another leader, a Nosi leadership position, She'efshir lo Limchos, Shirei Mivonov, he could chastise, because they're fearful of him, and if he were to have protested, they would listen to him. So one who is in that position and could have protested and doesn't, so he's held accountable for their sins. By the way, the issue of and he will be listened to is something that will be discussed at greater length in an upcoming sugya. But for the time being, we just learned the Rashi who says, Rashi adds, and they'll listen to him. So, and he remains silent. So that's what they're teaching here, that then he's held accountable for their sins. And he'll be punished for their sins. Omar Rapapa, Vahani Debei Reish Galusa, the people of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the exilarch. He was the head of the Jewish exile. They are Nitfasu al Kulei Alma. They are held accountable for the entire Jewish people. Ki ha d'yomer Rav Chanina, based on what Rav Chanina teaches, Mai d'chtiv, the pasuk says, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sorov. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, will hold accountable the sages, the elders of the people, and the ministers. Well, im sarim chatu, if the ministers, sin, zekenim achatu. Zekenim is a reference to the Sanhedrin. What's their sin? Ela ema. We're here at the top of Nun Hei Omed Aleph. Ela on the middle of the top line. Ela ema. Al zekenim shelo michu besorim. The understanding of this pasuk of Hashem b'mishpat, the pasuk at the bottom of Omed Beis, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amu besorim, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come in judgment on the zekenim that didn't protest when they saw the minister's wrongful behavior. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.